Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. We have such a special, extraordinary show for you tonight because we're actually talking with one of the most talented people that I've ever met, and somebody that when we created this show, it was my deepest desire to bring to you the people that were at the pinnacle of their fields, that really were at the very top of what they did, and that were able to bring the keys and the secrets and the tools and the techniques and the doorways and the pathways, the windows and the doors, to be able to leading and living a passionate life. Whatever that looked like, to follow your heart and to follow your dreams. And tonight we are speaking with Noel Orput, who is a writer, director, producer, and not as only has he been following his heart, but he's been able to share his talent in such an extraordinary way and be able to help other people find their passion and their dreams because his work is so inspirational. So Noel, it's welcome to the show. It's such a joy to have you here. So I always love to ask people at the top of the show the did you know factor. You know, when you were a little boy and you were 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and other little boys wanted to be firemen and astronauts, was there something in you that was always artistic or putting on plays or creating stories?
Yeah.
It happened somewhere later in your life.
No, it for me it definitely happened at a pretty young age. Both of my parents were very involved in the arts and patrons of the arts. So, you know, from the age of 3, they were taking me to theater and to the opera. We originally lived in outside of Chicago, so so they really exposed me at a very young age to the arts, and I guess I got bit by the bug, you know, when I was probably in, you know, first, second grade. I was always doing doing the school musicals and plays, and so I knew I wanted to, you know, initially be an actor, and you know, I guess got pretty serious about it in high school, and knew I wanted to study it in college, and so I went to Wagner College on Staten Island, New York, and got my degree in theater there, and I spent, you know, the first part of my career on stage and just touring the country with different national tours of musicals and performing in regional theaters and working at Disneyland out here in California, and that's kind of where I initially started, and then, you know, then I gravitated more towards writing and directing for film. So that's kind of been my main focus over the past, I don't know, 10 years now, I would say.
It's incredible. I mean, when I look at all your projects, and I want to talk about, you know, so much of your work that you've been sharing just so brilliantly on the stage and the screen, but the through line for me when I was looking at your bio is really the sense of story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have had the opportunity and created these incredible stories and incredible stories about relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know. I'm definitely seeing that pattern. not always intentional, but that's definitely what I gravitate towards, both as a viewer and as a writer as well now.
Okay. Well, I love that. I absolutely, and I can't wait to share what you're doing now. But I remember that you did a movie called Harmony.
Yes.
That was really well received. And we're at a time right now in society and in the world where people are longing for and striving for and yearning for and desiring and needing harmony.
Yeah.
So yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your inspiration and harmony and its journey?
Sure. Harmony, gosh, I mean, harmony was sort of, you know, one of those aha moments for me. It was just kind of an idea that I got, and I initially, you know, it just sort of started as an idea I had in my head of somebody who Like I always used to ask people if you could, you know, introduce yourself to a group of strangers with one song, right? One song that kind of encapsulates like who you are as a human being. If you were to be introduced that way, you know, what song would you pick to introduce yourself to a group of strangers? So that was just an idea that I had, and so it kind of grew from there, and it became, you know, what if there was a person who actually saw people's energy through song? Like, so then every single human being has their own song, which is sort of encoded in their DNA, and it just kind of kept spinning from that initial idea. So yeah, I ended up just creating a sort of a short form, short film script for that. And, you know, that came together pretty quickly. And then, you know, we raised some money and, did that through Kickstarter, one of those great, you know, crowdfunding platforms. And, yeah, I mean, it just kind of it happened really quickly. I mean, I think it was an idea that definitely resonated, with everybody that came on board. And, you know, we were lucky to have Jason Alexander involved with the short. So he came on board, and he ended up playing the therapist in the film that the main character sees. So it was just kind of like, you know, for me, it was definitely a dream come true moment, you know, where I, you know, took something from script form and ended up, you know, being on set and directing, you know, someone that I grew up watching on Seinfeld. And, you know, it was a very very surreal magical moment for me. So we shot the film in about 3 days, and it's, you know, right now it's a short film, so it's about 16 minutes long, and it's online, so people can see that online. And yeah, currently I'm developing the feature length of that. So I've written the feature script for that, and that's sort of something that I'm planning on shooting next. So
I love that idea.
I'm getting that.
I absolutely love that idea of somebody introducing themselves as a song. And I love Jason Alexander's work. I mean, he's so brilliantly talented. And as you know, you talk about this, is there a song that personifies you that you think is your song if you were going to introduce yourself to the world?
Oh, man, you know, it's so funny because I feel like I have, there's so many. I mean, I you know, as most people do, I love music. And, you know, there's so many songs that you know, I think touch different parts of my being, you know. I mean, I think, gosh, if I had to pick one, Billy Joel, "And So It Goes," is a
nice
song that I just love. Like, I don't know, it's such a simple, beautiful song, and I don't know, the first time I heard that, that definitely got to like the, you know, the creative part of my being, and definitely my, you know, my interest in exploring love and exploring relationships. And yeah, so that's one that sticks out for me. But there are so many, you know. I mean, that's the thing, people are so many different facets to people, you know. So I feel like you could have a country song that's in there, and you know, probably a rap song, you know. So it's like there's so many, but I'll go with that one for now.
That's perfect. And it's interesting that you say that, because as I look through your history and I look at the projects that you've worked on, three times mm-hmm. a late, you know, as an actor, writer, producer, director, or, you know, the comedy Four Queens that was in festivals, and you've gone the gamut from really hysterically comedic pieces to heart-wrenching, heartfelt, really serious life issues. And so who you are as an actor and director and producer is so versatile that I would imagine that your music scope would be as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I, you know, being a writing student, you know, I hear a lot that, you know, you kind of have to find your brand, you know. What is it that you're gonna write, what is it that you're gonna direct? And you don't want to, you know, sort of be too all over the map. But yeah, for me, I mean, I definitely comedy and drama, while they're, you know, they can be polar opposites of each other. You know, I don't know. I just feel like being a storyteller, I have a lot of, you know, I have a lot of different stories that I want to tell, and some, yeah, some are ridiculous comedies, and some are, you know, a little bit more serious and emotional, I guess. So yeah.
Even when they air, because I know that Living the Dream, you know, starred Golden Globe winner Sally Kirkland, you know, who's incredibly talented, and I know that so many of your films have found their way into festivals and onto PBS and into different shows. And so when you are writing or creating, do you see the audience? Do you know the hearts you're going to touch or the souls you're going to touch? Or do you just say, this is a really great idea and I just want to put this out there and see where it goes?
Yeah, I guess sometimes I think about the audience, but I would say more times than not, I'm really just writing something that, you know, that's meaningful to me first. I mean, I think if something speaks to you, you know, the more I'm finding out, you know, it will find an audience, you know, somewhere. I mean, there's, you know, billions of people on the planet, and the great thing now, you know, is with the internet, you know, you can reach so many people, you know. So I think as long as you're coming from an honest, sincere place, you know, whether it's comedy or drama, I think, you know, I think people will respond to that, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I just start from what do I want to see, and what's the story that I want to tell. And I just kind of put my trust in that and, you know, then send it out to the world and hope that people will respond to it.
It's such an incredible journey. And I know you've done a lot of work at Disney. And
I have, yeah.
Being in the Disney world, you know, does that change your perspective of enchanting audiences? Because I know that even just stepping in to the Disney circle or the Disney light, there's something that just being there means joy, means magic. And I really feel like all of your films and all of your projects are touched, that you actually are just embodying that and sharing that, not only in Disney, but that's rippling into everything that you do.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I mean, I've had a great relationship working with Disney. I've sort of worked for different parts of the company probably over 8 or 9 years. I was in Aladdin musical spectacular at California Adventure, which just sadly closed in January, but they had a great, you know, 13-14 year run. So I got to do that for about 6 years. And I also was able to open, they made Toy Story into a musical as well. So I got to open that show on their cruise line as well. And, you know, I mean, Disney's, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing like Disney. I mean, there really isn't. They are masters at what they do. And, you know, I mean, it's really a gift to get to, you know, to get to be on stage and look out and just see the joy, you know, not only on kids' faces, but, you know, adults of all ages. And it really is this, you know, this little magical bubble, you know, that when you're there, it's just like you are, you know, there's a reason it is called the happiest place on earth. I mean, it's just a place of joy and magic. And, you know, I've been lucky to work with so many great artists there as well. So, I mean, most of the projects that I've made so far have always involved people, you know, that I worked with at Disney. So, you know, those relationships are definitely carried over, you know, beyond the park. And I've been blessed, you know, to really meet some great people there. And a lot of them, you know, have acted in my movies and collaborated, produced, you know, so that's been a great part, you know, of working there.
Well, tell you that I had the opportunity to see you in Aladdin, and I am such a huge fan. I mean, I'm a fan of everything that you do.
Thank you.
I really am. You're so gifted. I mean, you truly are, and I love the talent. I love the way you share it. And as you talk about the joy, and I know that we're going to go to a break in a couple minutes, but before we do, I just wanted to ask you, Laughing Horse Productions.
Laughing House.
Laughing House. Yes. Oh, okay.
Laughing House.
Laughing
Horse is good, too. There's something in there.
So how did you come up with I mean, I love the fact that laughter is part of the name of your production company, and how did that come about?
Laughing House, you know, it started with three other guys that I worked with at Disney. They were all involved with the Aladdin show. They were just friends, you know, we were friends first, and then, we just always, you know, always could make each other laugh, and we were all interested in kind of creating, you know, short-form content to put online. So we just kind of, you know, started spitballing ideas and, you know, coming up with stuff that we found really funny. And, you know, so we just kind of dove in and started shooting some, you know, little sketches, and then did a web series that we did about 7 episodes of, and that's online. And so then, yeah, you know, we just we're creating all this content, and, you know, we just had to slap a title on it. So, you know, we just had a crazy brainstorm session where it's always, you know, it's so hard to come up with what is our company name, you know. It just kind of came from our meetings. You know, every time we would be together, we were just always laughing, you know. And we were frequently meeting at my friend Michael's house. So it just kind of became like, well, this is like the Laughing House, you know. And we all just, I don't know, we all really liked that name. And so, yeah. We ended up going with Laughing House, because who wouldn't want to be in a Laughing House? I mean, I know I would like to be there. So, yeah, we went with that name.
I love that. That's such a great name. I really do. And I love that it has meaning, and it's the fact that it was joy for all of you. And it's funny, listening to you talk, that I remember I worked with Bob Hope when I was a little girl. And what that was like, you know, to work with Bob Hope. And his production company was not Bob Hope Productions, or, you know, something you would imagine it to be. He had Doan Productions. And when he was younger, they used to have a corner drugstore. That was Doan's, the drugstore. And all of his friends would meet at the drugstore. And that's when you could get, like, milkshakes at drugstores and hamburgers, whatever that is, you know, in their time.
Yeah.
And they did that. And so that was the place that they would all meet to have fun.
Yeah.
So his production company was Doan, because that was the place that all of his friends would meet him to have fun.
That's great. Yeah. So, I love that.
It's
got to have personal meaning, you know. I love that. That's a great story.
Well, thank you. And I love Laughing House Productions as well. And so when we come back, I would really love to talk to you about a new project that you have coming out. And I watched the trailer, and I was so away. And the first thing I did was play it over and over and over again. I think I watched it, you know, like 10 times.
Oh, I love it.
I went, this is genius, because it's so on the pulse of today. Mm-hmm. And it's rare that, you know, you actually see a project like we're so used to seeing Star Wars and the Lord of the Rings and all of these projects that are these big, sweeping, epic projects that are wonderful, and they take us to this other place.
Sure.
But it's not that you say, I know this. This is exactly my life. This is exactly what I'm going through, or someone I know. And it's that makes this so relatable and so real and so desirable. And after I finished watching it over and over, then I was sending it out to people saying, you have to see this. Isn't this fun? And so I would love to talk more about this, because I know it's coming out really soon. And just people to be able to have the opportunity to have as much fun with it as I did some more with Noah Orpert when we return here on Passionate Living. It's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with Noel Orput, talking about film and screen magic and writing and acting and storytelling and all of the ways in which entertainment can be shared and really a way to connect to your heart, your spirit, your soul, and to laughter, as you were just talking about prior to the break, his production company, Laughing House Productions, which I absolutely love the title. So it's so great to have you here. It really is.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you. And I know that you have a new project that is brilliant. And just before the break, I was talking about how I played it over and over and over again, the trailer. And, you know, I've been sending it out to so many people. And it is so rare, because as a writer and as an actress, and I've been in the business since I was 8 or 9 years old, you know, for a lot of the years. And I even at one point was a development executive. And so I was reading stories all the time and deciding which stories were going to be made. And I had the opportunity to hear a lot of stories and see a lot of projects. And the first time I heard this idea, I went, that's genius. I fell, and it wasn't like anything I had come across. And there was something immediately inside of me that said, yes, there was an immediate, you know, reaction to it and a knowingness that this project was right and going to be wonderful. And I just knew it would be, and it is. I watched it, and it's just absolutely genius and brilliant.
Well, I love that.
So, thank you for making such a spectacular project. And so you have a premiere coming up of this. And
we do.
I'd love to talk about the premiere, and I'd love to talk about the premise and the story.
Sure.
And so it's First Comes Like, which...
Yes.
Is a genius title. And so tell me about this project.
First Comes Like, this was my first feature film. Previously to the, you know, I had done probably 8 or 9 short films, and you know, was a little intimidated about doing my first feature, but I knew I was ready to embark on that next step. So yeah, I wrote this script, and the premise is two people that meet online. They meet on a dating app, and they get matched up, and then over the course of a night, about 6 hours, they build a relationship, but they do it sort of all behind their digital curtain. So, you know, they're texting first, and then they decide to have a Skype date, and then they're talking on the phone, and so they're essentially, you know, having this relationship all over devices and online, and so they don't actually, you know, meet throughout the course of the film. So that's the basic premise of the movie, and it we shot it in about 5 days last fall, and I have a great cast. The performances are phenomenal, and yeah, we just had a great cast, crew, and had a great shoot. And yeah, I'm just I'm thrilled with how it came out. And yeah, we're going to be having our screening at the end of this month on the 30th of June.
Okay, and I know that I would love to share, you know, the information of how people can see this movie, but I've got a question first. What is people's reaction when you tell them this story?
I mean, pretty much everybody, it's, you know, everyone can relate to it. I mean, I feel like, you know, this is kind of, you know, the way relationships are starting now. You know, I'm particularly fascinated with, you know, the whole transition that, you know, we've gone through with how we meet people now. And so, you know, when I share this with people, it's like everybody's just like, oh yeah, you know, I've been there, I get it. So it's relatable, and a few movies of mine now have all kind of dealt with, you know, people that meet online, and you know, that's kind of the place that relationships are starting now. I read a great book too, by Aziz Ansari, called Modern Romance, and you know, that's just all about, you know, what dating is like now, and what, you know, online dating has done to relationships. And I don't know, I'm very I'm very interested in that whole topic.
So that's when I was watching the trailer, felt like I was watching someone's life. Like I was actually in the room with them.
Yeah.
It seems so intimate and so personal and just that I was totally connected in there. It didn't even feel like a distant, you know, their fantasy project. It just felt like these were my friends somehow, even though I never met these people. I felt like I knew them.
Well, and that's, you know, that's such a testament to the two lead actors, Joe Freya and Robin Delano, played the two leads. And, you know, the amazing thing was they weren't even on set together. You know, because we filmed all of their stuff separately because they're obviously in two different locations. So, you know, but they weren't even together on set. So, you know, I just kind of crossed my fingers and hoped that, you know, that the chemistry and the relationship would be there. And it totally is. I mean, it's their work is so great. And I mean, it's a very, you know, it's a very personal story for me. I mean, a lot of it is kind of stuff that I pulled from my life. And, I mean, I just kind of wrote from that personal place. And, I'm really, really, really proud of the film.
It's interesting. You were saying that your parents were in the arts. And watching your parents as a child and seeing their relationship to each other and to the arts, did that inspire you to write relationships?
I'm sure it did on some level, for sure. I mean, my parents, were married for 39 years, and, I was lucky to, you know, see a really loving, supportive relationship, you know, for, you know, the first half of my life. So definitely, you know, I mean, I definitely, admire, you know, the relationship that they had. And, I mean, I think that's still something that I, you know, strive for in my own personal life, is just having, you know, having that type of a loving, supportive, relationship that they had. For sure. In that sense, I would say they were an inspiration to me.
That's great. And on the premiere that's coming up, how do people go? If I mean, you're in Los Angeles and this is an international audience, so everybody get an airline ticket, come to this.
Please fly out for one crazy night in LA. We're doing one night. We rented a theater in Westwood, the Regent Theater, which is the great theater in sort of like downtown Westwood, I guess
great
you would call
venue.
It.
Really is.
Yeah. We're not even charging a ticket price, so it's free admission. Because this really is just our way of sharing the film with an audience. We haven't done a screening yet, and so we just want to get it in front of a big crowd and see how it plays. So it should be a really fun night, and like I said, it is free. And doors open at 7, and we're going to have a little Q&A following the screening with the cast and crew. And so it should be a really fun night. I'm looking forward to it.
What is the date of that?
It's going to be Thursday, June 30th.
Beautiful. And for people that want to find you and find your work and find Harmony and all of these brilliant films that you've been working on, what's the best way for people to contact you and to find you?
Well, I do have, my website is my name. It's NoelOrput.com. But, my name, for some reason, people always have a hard time, like, realizing how to spell it. So you can also go to FirstComesLikeMovie.com, and that will tell you everything about First Comes Like. And then there's also a link on there to my own personal website. So that's probably an easier route to go. FirstComesLikeMovie.com.
I think that's so exciting, and I'm thrilled for you. I know this is going to be a huge hit and the first of many, many, many full-length features for you. I know that all of your shorts and all of your work has been so successful. And
thank you.
It's just so brilliantly done. I mean, one after another, you just think, oh my gosh, you can't be more brilliant than that. And then you come up with something else that's just absolutely astounding. And it's so much fun to follow you and to follow your creative path and to follow your genius. And I know that we're coming up to a break in just a couple minutes, but before we do, do you have any advice for young filmmakers that think this is a really hard road or it's impossible, or something that you can offer them on their journey or for their visions or dreams?
I think for me, because, you know, I started on a different path than where I am now, you know, so it was definitely daunting to me when I started out too, you know, the idea of writing and making a short film definitely seemed like a huge mountain to climb. But I think honestly it just comes down to trusting your voice and knowing that, you know, if you do stay true to your artistic voice, that brings other people to you. You know, I think there is great energy behind that. And I think it's just, you know, having the courage to share your work with other people as well. You know, if I had never shared my first script, you know, with other people, then, you know, nothing would happen. You know, it would have forever lived on my laptop. So I think it's just trusting the voice and then having the courage to share it with other people that you trust. And it is kind of that, you know, field of dreams. If you build it, you know, they will come. And I do believe that, you know, if you create the art that brings other people to it and makes it happen. So I think that's kind of the place you have to start from. And it's so easy to make movies nowadays, you know. I mean, you can, you know, they're making movies on our phones. So, you know, it's so much easier now than it was. And I think if you just have faith and trust your voice, you know, you can find a place. You can find a place for your art out there.
That's phenomenal advice. Thank you for that. And I look forward to journeying more into your artistic world when we return here on Passionate Living with Noel Orput. Hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome back to Passionate Living. We are speaking today with Noel Orput on his illustrious career as a writer, as an actor, as an author. I mean, truly, when you think about it, I was looking at your resume and looking at your bio, and it's so diverse and it's so versatile, and everything that you've done is just like another great painting. It's like if you were an artist and we were in a gallery and we said, this one's beautiful and this one's fantastic and this one's really stunning and this one tells a story, and you don't even really know where to look because everything draws your eye and draws your attention. And to think about you being an Aladdin at Disney, or to think about web series that you've created, or to think about a feature film, you know, that you're putting out there that has a pulse on society today, you really, your arms are wide open to the creative flow and to artistic talent. And that's just really a wonderful gift. Well, thank you for sharing who you are with the world. I mean, that's one thing to be given a talent and another thing to share it the way that you share it. And it's just fabulous. So thank you. And I wanted to say it's beautiful because that would be a perfect lead in to a project you did called Forever Beautiful.
Yes.
And
another one.
Forever Beautiful won awards. It was in film festivals. It was on PBS. And so tell me about that journey.
Oh gosh, that one, that was another really special, special film for me. Yeah, that was, again, similar, you know, similar, but different, premise as my feature First Comes Like. But yeah, Forever Beautiful. It's two people, that meet in an art gallery, and, they sort of have this, you know, instant connection. And, you figure out that they're afraid. The guy wants to meet the girl somewhere else, but she's a little hesitant to do that. And then the reveal at the end, well, I guess it should be a little spoiler alert, but, the reveal at the end of the short is that these are actually, two people that I've met in a chat room. And you kind of are seeing like their avatars. Right, who are meeting in virtual space. And yeah, it's just kind of a touching little film about, you know, how it's easier for us to kind of meet in a virtual world than it is in real life. So yeah, it was just kind of my comment again on you know, online dating and online relationships. So yeah, we did that gosh, a few years back now. But yeah, shot that one in a day, and yeah, it got a huge response. Played in a bunch of festivals, and then yeah, I submitted it to this contest that PBS sponsors, and it won that. So it played on PBS pretty late at night. I think it was on at like midnight on both coasts, kind of in between two movies that they were playing. So, but that was pretty exciting for me.
I love that. I mean, it's a great premise. And I actually love that it was on late at night. I don't know if you know, but I was kidnapped 7 times in 3 years on television. Somebody actually wrote into the TV guide and said, please let this girl go.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I was on all these shows that would air really late at night. And it's amazing how many of my friends would call me and say, I saw you. And I'd be like, it was 2 in the morning. But
I love it.
That's when people actually are watching television.
Yeah, I love it. That's definitely, you know, a different audience that's awake at that hour.
That's funny. Now, most people usually write from their well, you know, mm-hmm. from something that they know and something that's inside of them. And mm-hmm. so do you find that your well is relationships or love or humor, or is there a part of you that wants to do like high speed car chases and make things blow up or do suspense or horror films as well?
You know, I would say my well is pretty full of relationships, stories and humor. You know, I wrote one thriller script, and that's another piece that's gotten some buzz. But that's not really, you know, my genre. Kind of the thriller horror genre is not really my thing. But once in a while, I'll get, you know, an idea will pop in. But yeah, I would say for the most part, it's relationship stories And then, yeah, some crazy comedies. I mean, my dad had what I consider really good taste in comedy. So I grew up, you know, watching Woody Allen and Mel Brooks films. And, you know, so I'd like to say that's probably where I got all of my comedy from. And Peter Sellers, of course. My dad was obsessed with the Pink Panther series. And so, yeah, I mean, I grew up watching a lot of comedies, and then I would say, you know, once I was in high school, college, then I was watching a lot of independent films, which, you know, primarily tend to deal more with relationships, and those are the movies, you know, that I like to watch. You know, I mean, I enjoy the big blockbusters, of course, but I would say my heart lies with independent film, so... Yeah, that's kind of what's in my well.
Well, that comedy and drama. So is your artistic talent that you love these independent films. And your dad had great taste in comedy, by the way. So from a personal perspective, I'd love to meet your dad. He sounds like he does an amazing, amazing man. And certainly everything that, you know, has been instilled into you and all your creative talent, just absolutely magnificent. So I'm so pleased that, you know, you talk about the diversity and, you know, as far as writing a suspense or the comedy and relationships, because I know as an actor, you've played and portrayed all of these characters. And when I look at you, there is an ageless, timeless embodiment to you as a being. So it's like, you know, when I think of movies like Somewhere in Time, like Christopher Reeves and, you know, something, or I think about something that, you know, from the future or from the other world, certainly you can be anything. I mean, it could be the 18th century and you could be there, or it could be the future. You just have a look that personifies something that can be open and available to all sorts of characterizations and all sorts of emotions. And so what is that like to be on that acting roller coaster for you, you know, aside from your, you know, writing and directing, which is so successful? I know as an actor, you do really well, and that door just keeps opening and opening and opening more for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think... gosh, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I think I've been lucky to get to play a lot of different types of roles. I mean, I started out sort of as, you know, as a character actor, when I was, you know, younger, like high school, college. And you know, cause I'm a tall guy. So I was always very tall and very skinny. So that's why I was always cast in character roles, you know, which is kind of where my heart is. And then in college, you know, as I sort of grew more into my body, then I kind of physically grew into like more leading man stuff. And it was interesting because I actually didn't enjoy that as much. You know, I was, you know, suddenly getting cast as the romantic leads and things. And I don't know, my heart and passion weren't really in those roles. So I don't know. I gravitate more towards character roles because I just find them more interesting and layered, to play as an actor. So yeah, I mean, I feel like I kind of have to, I don't want to say I have to fight to get to read for those roles, but you know, I mean, in this business, you sort of get typed, you know, off of your physical type. And, so it's weird. It's not a bad problem to have, but yeah, I would say, you know, if I could just play character roles for the rest of my career, I would be very content. I love those actors that, you know, that you see in everything, but you don't know their name, you know, like that. That's kind of the career that I would love to have. But yeah, I mean, you know, over the years, it's really been more writing and directing for me. So, you know, I still love acting, and I, you know, I love acting and, you know, other friends and colleagues stuff. But for now, that's not as much where I'm putting my focus, even though that's, you know, that's sort of what my initial passion was.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're on the writing and producing and directing path, because certainly the stories that you're bringing to the forefront are just awesome. And I know we're jumping to a break, but when we come back, I'd love to talk about also a new genre, which is web series, which is really just absolutely sweeping society. And people now really are watching television and film on their computers, on their phones, on their iPads, on their devices. And so I'd love to talk about a series you created for that genre, because it just seems like, just the same way First Comes Like, that you are stepping forward and stepping forward into the pulse and the heart of society today. So more with Noel Orput when we return here on Passionate Living.
comes down from Yellow Mountain.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome back to Passionate Living. We are speaking today with one of my favorite artists, Noel Orput, who is a writer, a director, a producer, and an actor. And right before the break, we were sharing truly how all of his projects really have a pulse on society, a pulse on humanity, a pulse on today's technology. And there's just something so relatable in all of the work that he does. And Noel, right before the break, we were talking about a new genre, which is really just the past few years. I mean, something we never even heard before. And now even Emmys are like Amazon series are being nominated for Emmys and things like that, which is the webinar. And you created a webinar called Tinder and Grindr. And talk to me about webinars. Talk to me about this whole genre and world and what that's like and how, I mean, what an incredible pathway to be able to reach people right now.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a crazy, I mean, I feel like the web is it's truly the Wild West right now. You know, like, it's there's so much content out there because, you know, it's so easy for people to create it. So there's so much material out there, and it's really which, you know, is great, but it also can be challenging to really find an audience because there is so much content that's out there at our fingertips. So it's really, you know, it's kind of a science, you know. You have to really figure out, you know, what are you going to be putting out there that, you know, is a little bit different from everything else. And and, you know, what is that audience that you're hoping to find? And so it's tough. But, you know, the great thing is you know, have a lot of freedom. You know, I mean, you have total creative control over what you're doing generally. So that's, you know, that's something that you're not going to find, you know, in like a big studio production or something like that. When there's a lot of money, you know, obviously on the line. So I don't know. I think it's freeing, and it's just a great place to try out, you know, new ideas and just see, you know, put it up online and see if people latch onto it. So yeah, we shot a web series a couple of years ago called Tinder and Grindr. And we shot about 7 episodes of that, and it's pretty simple premise. It's two detectives who are partners, Detective Tinder and Detective Grindr, and one is straight and one is gay, hence the names. Every episode takes place in their car, so obviously very easy for us to shoot because it was every episode was inside the car, and we'd always have a different guest star kind of in the back seat. So, you know, we had Allison Arngrim did an episode from Little House on the Prairie. She played Nellie on that show. So she was in our pilot episode. We had Ellen Williams, who was a regular on, I'm going blank, on the Neil Patrick Harris show. Why am I forgetting the name of it? How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
It was just so much fun to do. We did 7 episodes and shot it pretty quickly. So that's on our Laughing House. We have a YouTube channel under Laughing House Productions. So all those episodes are up there. And it was great. We learned a lot from doing it, and you know, we have a couple other series that we're going to be going into production on in the next couple months. So we're going to get back on that horse and keep cranking stuff out.
I think it's wonderful. And do you think that that's the future of television?
Oh, man. I mean, that's what people keep saying, you know. I don't know. I mean, there's part of it's great. I mean, I still think, you know, there's something, I don't know. I feel like for me, like going to a movie theater is kind of like going to church for me. You know, I think there's something about definitely the communal experience of watching a movie in a theater. Obviously, television, you know, you don't do that in a theater. You do that at home. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I don't think it's just going to end up there. But, I mean, who knows? I just feel like things are changing so much now, you know, that nobody really knows, you know. I mean, I think that's why it is like the Wild West, you know. It's just, there are no rules anymore. So that can be, you know, freeing, and it can also be a little scary. But I don't know. I mean, I think TV will still live on televisions, and I hope movies still will live in theaters, you know, years from now.
I feel the same way. I love the fact that you say going to a movie theater is like going to church for you, because I feel that way about bookstores. You know,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Such a passion for books, and I love books, and I collect books, and one of my dreams is to have, you know, a library in my house with the rolling ladders someday, you know, because I have all these books.
Absolutely.
And there's just something comforting to me. It's like being swaddled in books, and I feel the same way with theater. When you go to a live theater or you go to a movie theater, there's something about that experience and the energy.
Absolutely.
That fills you like nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, I miss video stores too. I mean, I used to go to a video store in my old neighborhood, and man, I loved, you know, just walking up and down the aisles and reading the backs of movies and finding movies that, you know, I had never heard of. And I mean, I miss that, you know? There's a part of that I wish we could have held on to, you know? And maybe, you know, who knows, maybe they'll come back. I doubt it. But, I mean, in the last bookstore, you've been to the last bookstore, right?
Yeah.
Downtown. Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. That's a gem. That was, I had never been there, and a friend of mine took me there, and I was like, thank God there's, you know, I hope it's not the last. But I know what you mean. I mean, it's that communal experience, and I think that's the way art, you know, was meant to be enjoyed.
I agree, and it's such a passion, and I think, you know, that's one of my questions that I always love to ask guests that are on the show, is that the show is called Passionate Living. And with that, what does leading and living a passionate life mean to you?
Oh, man, I think it's doing something that you love. I've been lucky to, you know, make a living doing what I love. And, you know, I don't want to do anything else, but I also, you know, I know I could do something else, but I just don't want to, you know. I really feel like when you can do something that, you know, I feel like, you know, you were meant to do. And that doesn't even mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be your career, you know. I mean, it can be a hobby, you know, like my mom loves gardening, you know, and that is, I mean, when you see her gardens, it's just like, well, there you go. You know, like that is passionate living for her, you know? I think it's finding just something that really makes life worth living. And being able to do that. I think that's what it means to me, for sure.
Well, that's a superb answer. Thank you for that. I mean, that really touches the heart, and I think it's so true that anytime we have an opportunity to follow our heart and to follow our dreams, and I know from being in the audience and on the outside, I for one am so grateful that you have followed yours, because your talent is just extraordinary, and I'm blessed, you know, and honored to have been in the audience to watch you grow as a director, as a writer, and your projects, which are just so natural. I feel like they're like walking and breathing, that there is just something just tremendously powerful and yet so simple and so connected and so natural at the same time. And I am wishing you great success with First Comes Like. I know that it's going to be a huge hit. And once more, tell people again when the premiere is and how they can find it if they cannot make it to Los Angeles, which I'm hoping all of you will fly in for the premiere. But if you can, I want you to be able to follow Noel and follow this film and his incredible body of work as well.
Yeah, the premiere is Thursday, June 30th, from 7 to 10 p.m., and it will be at the Regent Theater in Westwood, California. And yeah, the website is firstcomeslikemovie.com, and all the information for the screening is on there as well. So, yeah, this was great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's been a joy having you on. And I know at this time, you know, in our society and in our world, it's a time when we're all looking to love one another, and we're all looking to be connected, and we're all looking to follow our hearts and to be able
Absolutely.
To be in our hearts and to have a creative talent such as yours, that is your well, is love and heart-centered projects that connect people and connect laughter and connect joy. You truly are a gift. So thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. So this is Nicole Brandon and Noel Orput wishing you that all of your wishes and your dreams come true. And we look forward to seeing you next week here on Passionate Living. Mm-hmm.